Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. Thank you again for your mercy, your faithfulness, preserving us, bring us to the end of this year. Lord God, this last service, as we go into your word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, fully conscious of our human limitations to deliver as well as to receive your word as we should. Father, we pray for fresh anointing and unction, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all those who hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, that the word, the same unction will be upon them. So this word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled, tempered and powered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as we speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. We further pray for mercy, so I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement would be receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life agreed and said. 2 Peter chapter 1 ending and chapter 2 starting. And in ending chapter 1, I'm just going to hit this briefly because we're going to expatiate on it in chapter 2. Peter talked about the fact that he and James and John were on the mountain, what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that mountain, they had a very spectacular supernatural experience and encounter with the Lord Jesus. Jesus was transfigured before them, you know, and in addition to that, there was an open vision in which they saw Elijah and Moses talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's very important to realize that, you know, they didn't know Elijah and Moses. You know, it was not like today where you have photographs. For example, if I was to, God forbid, if I was to see Adolf Hitler in a vision, I'd know he's Adolf Hitler because I've seen pictures of him. You know, but that was then. That's now. But back in those days, they didn't have that. So obviously, the way they knew it was Elijah and Moses was Jesus was talking to them and names were mentioned back and forth. So obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ must have said something while the conversation was going on for them to know that this is Elijah and this is Moses. But also, just as importantly, I mentioned this in passing and probably will also deal with it later on in my main message today and probably also during the watch night service, it was the Feast of Tabernacles they were talking about. We know that because the Bible says, you know, Peter said, let's build three tabernacles for you. Now, you don't do that except, you know, something must have the Feast of Tabernacles, because during the Feast of Tabernacles, that's what they do. They build these huts. So that was what Peter had in mind, because obviously he heard them talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. That just tells us something. I'll just hit that and leave it for now. You know, that the Elijah and Moses anointings and ministries are going to be important in the Feast of Tabernacles. It goes back to things we've preached years ago, you know, but, you know, because that's what the prophet does. He tells and prophesies, preaches and teaches about things, the plan of God for the future to prepare the church so that the church can prosper in it. You know, I preached about, you know, the governmental anointings many years ago. And this thing we do at the benediction, you know, at the end of every service, the anointings of Enoch, Elijah, Moses, and all of that is all part of it, you know. So you can see the Elijah and the Moses ministries are there. The full anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, is a combination of all the anointings of everybody we read about in the Bible. It's the consummate, it's the ultimate. I call it a cocktail of anointings. Amen. And so we know what Moses did. Moses was the guy who disciplined Pharaoh. Let's keep it simple. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to do that in this end time. And that's the reason why they're going to hate us. They're not hating us now because we're not disciplining anybody. That's the next thing. The first thing Jesus talked about was beginning of sorrows in Matthew chapter 24. Then the next thing was that, and you shall be hated of all. So we're in that transition now between, we've already seen the beginning of sorrows, wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilences. All that is already happening, earthquakes. You understand? So the next thing, for us to move from verse 8 to verse 9, there must be a manifestation of this Moses and Elijah anointing that will now make the nations hate us. Right now they're not hating us. You know, they're tolerating us. Amen. I'll talk more about that later on today. You know, I got some very important things the Lord wants me to say. But, you know, so that was why they were discussing about that. And then, of course, the Elijah ministry. Well, Elijah and Moses are very similar. Amen. Moses disciplined Pharaoh and Elijah disciplined Ahab. Amen. And so, and we, with this Elijah anointing that also we will partake of, as we experience the manifestation of the Spirit without measure, which will include this Elijah anointing, we are going to discipline the Ahabs of the church. There are many, many, I'm talking about that as I go on, there are many, many of our brethren that have skewed off, that have become corrupted, and they are troubling Israel. You know, that's what Elijah said to Ahab. You know, you are the one. Well, Ahab accused him and said, no, it's not me who's troubling Israel, it's you and your father's house, and going to marry that silly girl called Jezebel, and you're the guys who are causing all the problems. If you don't want to know the problems that are being caused now, there are a lot of Ahabs in the church. A lot of Ahabs, you know, Saul, Ahab, you know, bad leaders trouble the church. Corrupted leaders trouble the church. And the Moses anointing takes care of the political leaders. The Elijah anointing takes care of the spiritual leaders. So we're going to deal with them. You know, well, let me correct that so people won't think I'm just a very bad guy. Amen. God is going to deal with them through us. It's not me. Praise the Lord. So if you have a problem with that, talk to God. And so here, and in this, he said, we have, and he said, this vision was great and all of that. He said, however, we have a more sure word of prophecy, you know, which is the written word of God. The first person I ever heard say this, you know, and I give God the glory for it, is Kenneth Copeland. I was in Tulsa, in Oklahoma, for the Kenneth Hagin campaign. This is the first time I went to America. You know, this was 1980. You know, I went from Imperial College. And I can never forget that meeting. It was a destiny-shaping meeting for my life personally, and I also believe for the church in Nigeria. It was at that meeting I first met Pastor Adeboye. You know, I can never forget. It was I came to him from England by myself, you know, by supernatural provision of the Holy Spirit. And then I hooked up with Brother Emiko, because somebody had told me, look, Emiko is going to be there. So I hooked up with Emiko. Emiko didn't know me when I was in UI. You know, of course, he must have known about me, but he didn't know me. You know, and then somebody told me who I was. And, you know, so when I got to America, I got to meet him. So Emiko was the one who was taking me around everybody. So he took me, introduced me to Pastor Adeboye, Kumuyi, and all the... There were a lot of people around. Idahosa was not at that meeting, you know, but there were guys from his church, you know. And so he always says, this is a young man from Imperial College in London. And, you know, he just took me around like that, you know, and introduced me to all the brethren. That was a very, very significant meeting. And in one of the sessions Kenneth Copeland preached, he came to the scripture. And he said this, and I'm echoing it again after 37 years, you know, that the word of God is more sure than any vision. He said they heard the voice of God. They were compassed about with a cloud. Do you understand? You know, so it was a very spectacular, and that's great. We're not going to play down that. He said, however, we have a more sure word, you know, of prophecy, you know, to which you do well that you take heed. And then to make you understand the more sure word he's talking about, he said, no prophecy of the scripture. So he's talking about the written word. And he said, it is more sure than whatever you see in a vision. Does that degrade visions? No. Visions are very important. You know, they have their, let me say it this way, they have their place. Visions, dreams, I'll be talking more about that probably later on. You know, they're all important in their place. But you must never put the revelation via a vision or a dream above the written word. The written word is more sure. And one of the reasons why a lot of the prophetic ministries are going to get into that now are getting corrupted today is they're not doing exactly that. They do not take heed to the more sure word of prophecy. When they get some supernatural, spectacular experience, you know, people tend to, and you know, it's because of the carnal nature of the church. People will believe you more if you say you had a vision than if you preach a higher revelation from the written word. And when there's no vision, and people consider the guy who had a vision a greater prophet than the guy who just says, oh, this is what the Bible says. Well, we all know that. And it's a wrong mentality, and we need to correct that. And he said that this word, this prophecy of the scripture, we said this last week, but it bears repetition. Everybody turn to your neighbor, say, all scripture is prophetic. I didn't hear you. Didn't say you like all. That's why the Bible is so important. The Bible is a prophetic map. Your life is inside the Bible. Your life, everything about your life, from birth to rapture. I'm being nice. I didn't want to say grave. Particularly if you're living in this end time generation, you know, it's all there. He says all the things that are written concerning you, that is, if you take away from the word, he says he will take your part that is written. So turn to your neighbor and say, there are parts of your life, correction, all parts of your life are written inside the word of God. So it must be prophetic, because there are parts of your life you haven't lived out yet. Yet is there. But how is it there? He says, for the law having a shadow of good things. Everybody say, to come. Say, to come. To come. To come. It means it hasn't yet happened. That's why it is prophetic. The law having a shadow of, and I like God for that scripture. Not bad things, good things. Everything God has for your life is good, man. Hallelujah. So the law, or the law and the prophets, which is the Torah from Genesis to Deuteronomy, then the prophets is from Joshua to Malachi. That was in the Old Testament. Now we have an addition, because we now have the New Testament. You know, all of that is contains shadows of good things to come. Everybody say, good things to come. Turn to your neighbor and say, 2018 is a year of good things to come. And I'm going to find out what those good things are by studying the shadow. Give the Lord a clap offering. You see, you got to understand, you know, that's why it's a so you're reading about Samson, but you're not reading about Samson, you're reading about you. Hello? You're reading about Esther, but you're not reading about Esther, you're reading about you. Hello, somebody. But it takes the revelation of the Holy Spirit and listening to anointed teaching like this and others to be able to see how what is written about Esther is actually applying to you today. It's all there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, so when you're reading, it's not just Ahab or Elijah. It's you. It's you. It's me. The scripture is talking about the prophecy of the scripture. It's telling you about something in your life that God has planned for your future. And that's why you should take heed as unto a light in a dark place. Dark means a place where you can't see. So you need to take heed to the Bible. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. So you can take heed, so that you can then pick by the Spirit. The other time I preached a message about capturing God's thoughts. You need to capture what the Holy Ghost is pushing out to you, you know, and it unfolds day by day, week by week. Can you see why you can't afford not to come to church? Because you don't know what has been dropped. That's why you should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Much the more so. It means as the end time increases, if we can use that expression, or as the coming of the Lord approaches, prophetic truth becomes more and more significant. Much the more so as we see the day approaching. Hello, somebody. So, with all of that, that's how we ended. Now, let's go to chapter 2. For today, we're just going to look at verses 1 through 9. And you know, I told you some time ago, I was preparing a message, and it just flows in. This portion of scripture is talking about false prophets. And trust me, if you didn't need it, God would not put it inside the Bible. Because the place is, Pastor G, Mommy, the place is brimming now with false prophets. I'm talking about the church. And I'll explain as I go on. Let's start in verse 1. But there were. Look at that word. But. You see, get the thought. Take heed unto the prophecy of the scripture. Is a more sure word of prophecy. But. There were false prophets among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. I didn't hear you, folks. Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You know, if you look at that on the surface, you don't get what he's saying. These guys are not going to say, I deny Jesus. Mm-mm-mm-mm. That won't deceive you. Amen. He's saying, they profess him, but in works. Go and check Titus. That's why you need to know your Bible. You see, he says there, but I know, because I know Titus, I know what he means, not that they'll come and say, I deny Jesus. No, 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 no. We're going to see that in a minute. Then we'll be talking about the Lord, God is, Jesus is Lord. Otherwise, he won't deceive you. The Bible says, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. The minute you think you cannot be deceived, you are deceived. Once you say, he says, he says they profess, but in works. So you're not going to be looking at what people are saying. You're going to have to look at what they are doing. That's why you don't know them by their gifts. You know them by their fruit. So no matter how nice what they are saying is, you have to go and check what the fruit is. Otherwise, you'll be deceived. Hello. So it says, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, oh my God, this is so, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. Isn't that happening today? There are so many people who are saying, all you people are, the way of truth is the way of truth, but it's being evil spoken of because of the way many of our brethren are behaving. Many people will say, all you people, all you know, it's all about money, it's all about covetousness, you know. And even people who, even when there's truth, sometimes the way it's presented, you know, I don't know how a person, I know how, but you know, I know it's the devil. You know, but you know, it's bad for you to, you said, like I'm ministering now to the glory of God. You know, if I just go and start introducing money in the middle of this preaching, and then tie your benefits of what I'm teaching to the money, I've already gone off rail. But that's what is done. They even call it proper, you know, multi-level advertising. They even told that that's how you have to do it too. So when you preach a little bit, then you tell them they have to put money before they can get the remaining. It's merchandise. And it is so common now, it's accepted. That's why God told me, and by the mercy and the grace of God, I'm keeping it. I don't tie money to my messages. We take an offering in this church. We take three offerings. You know, we're going to do so, you know. But I never tie it to the word or to the anointing. And I make sure that everything I give you, you can get it free, whether you have money or not. Because once you tie it to money, you invite a money spirit. By the time I'm through, you will appreciate what I'm talking about. Let's keep, it says, look at it, say, and many shall follow their pernicious just means destructive, ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. It's happening. That's why you know this book is the Bible, is from God. This was written thousands of years ago, and we can see it happening today. And through covetousness, he hits it. This is the major problem. And through covetousness, I didn't hear you. Shall they with feigned just means, you know, deceptive. You know, the tongue is like sugar. Feigned words make what? Merchandise of you. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God... Here's Peter writing by the Holy Spirit. And you know, he's using revelation of the Old Testament, of things God had done in the past. You know, that's why God gives us the Bible. The Bible, in a sense, is also history. You know, you can know how God is going to deal with this by looking at how he dealt with it before. God, it doesn't change. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So there are certain angels, as we are talking now, they are inside hell, and they are bound. You know, that is enough punishment, but they are still going to have a judgment. How many people know that hell and lake of fire are not the same? People are looking at me. I didn't even hear amen. Nobody wants to hear about hell. You better hear about it. Jesus talked about hell a lot. Amen. You say, do you want to frighten me? Yes. To keep you out of it. I want to scare the hell out of you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I really want to. If I do that, I've done you a service. I want to scare the hell out of you. Hallelujah. Now watch this. You understand? The hell is a temporary place of confinement. You know, when they are doing a case in the earth, they send you to the local jail. There is a jail in Ikolaba and Bodija police station. Do you understand? In Songo, there's a jail there, but it's not the real jail. It's just where they put you while the case is being in police custody. Then they continue the case in court. Then when the case is finally finalized, they now transfer you. They will not transfer you in Jesus' name. They will now transfer the person. Don't they say you? It's not you in Jesus' name. We reject it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, they will now transfer the person from the Agodi local prison. Then they will now take him to either Agodi or some or Kirikiri. That's the real. So it is with hell and the lake of fire. The lake of fire, these angels are in hell at the moment, but they are going to wind up in the lake of fire. Because a judgment day is coming where the books will be opened and another book. And people will be judged out of things that are written inside the book according to their works. And then final judgment will be given. And everybody whose name was not found in the book of life, this is, the Bible says they will take them and they will put them inside the lake of fire. This is not, it's true for part of these angels that rebelled against God. You know, if you keep it in its context, you find that Peter here was actually talking about some of the angels that came down and said having sex with human beings in the time of Noah. You know, some of those foolish spirits are still around today. It's one of the things that's driving homosexualism. It's one of the things, because that thing is a horrible spirit. But it's these fallen angels, you know, they put this desire and something into the hearts of people and into their bodies. And you see, you know, the same, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, the same thing is happening now. When whole governments are approving of it, you can see that the devil has really come to the ground floor. And they don't see, I don't know how they can't see that there's something wrong with it. Satan has blinded their hearts because of their dishonesty and their willful rebellion against God. Am I talking to anybody here? Okay, so let's move on. He said, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not. Open your mouth. I don't know. You should be able to read every part of the Bible. Read the good part and read the part that is not so good according to you. All of it is good. Amen. After all, you're not one of these angels. So why should it disturb you from reading it? And I don't believe you are one of those people who is going to follow their pernicious ways. Or are you planning to get into covetousness and make merchandise? So if you are not, you shouldn't be afraid of reading it. Hello? Hello? And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And look at the two examples he uses, Noah and Lot. It's exactly the same ones Jesus used. He said, in the end time, he said, so shall the days of the coming of Son of Man be, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot. The same spiritual characteristics that dominated the atmosphere at that time is what is prevalent today. Let me just drop something to you free of charge. You know, because it's not written here explicitly, but it's there implicitly. Do you know what attracted Lot to Sodom and Gomorrah was prosperity? Careful where you go. He says, and Lot lifted up with his eyes. And watch this. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And the land was beautiful like the garden of the Lord. What attracted him? So these spirits work in tandem. The spirit behind covetousness and prosperity, the spirit between sexual immorality, they work in tandem. They work together. You must learn to control your body and your appetites by the Spirit of God. It's called temperance, self-control. You see, if you have, I'll say it in Yoruba, ojukokoro, you not only have it towards money, you have it towards women or men. The same thing. It's the same spirit. It's just operating in different ways. Are you listening to me? That's why you must learn to control so you are content. Godliness with content. So you are content with what God has given you. Otherwise, you will always want that grab spirit. And you know, just as you are grabbing the money, you'll be grabbing the women or the men. Horrible spirits. They have been unleashed in the earth in the end time. That's why it's so common now. Everywhere you go, you know, you see even Nigeria now, they're trying to creep in, you know, all kinds of stupid. That's why I tell my children and all the young people, careful the music you listen to. Careful what you watch. careful what you read, because those spirits are in the air. And if you open the door, trust me, they will enter. I didn't hear amen. But spared not. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, excuse me, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into what? Ashes, condemn them with an overthrow. Watch this. Making them a what? Example unto those that after should live ungodly. In other words, what I did to Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be child's play compared to what I will do with you if you follow the same example. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, or, you know, manner of life. For that righteous man, now God calls Lot a righteous man, and he was, in the sense that he knew the God of Abraham. Abraham was his uncle, you know, and he knew the laws of God and wanted to try and do them. But he was him who caused his own problem. For evil communication corrupts good manners. What was he doing in Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, he lost everything. Lost his wife. Lost his wealth. Almost lost his own life. Saved his two daughters who committed incest with him. Spirit genuine. You know, they got out of Sodom and Gomorrah, but the spirit followed them. Made their own father drunk and slept with him, and became the father of Amalek and Moab. That's where Amalek and Moab came from. You know, Christians, you need to, that's why the genealogies are important. That's why you need to read the whole Bible. That's where they came from. That same spirit that was in Sodom followed those girls. You know, they were married. Their husbands laughed at Lot. God was so merciful. He was so gracious. He sent angels to go and meet them inside the place and say, "We're going to, but you guys are covered. Daddy Abraham has prayed for you." They were under Abraham's covering. We watch this. We cannot do anything until we get you out. He says, "Now follow us." You know, Kodaki your Lord is your own spirit. Do you know that even Lot, it was so difficult to get him out. He was dragging his feet. The Bible says the angel had to drag him. And when they got out, the wife too, she made it. And then she didn't make it. She got out. Then she remembered the trinket. Or whatever it is she forgot inside the drawer. That made her look back. And once she looked back, the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. Knowing those of us who know physics and all of that, that thing is radiation. It was radiation. He says, fire and brimstone. That's the way they would call it. They didn't know what we know today. You know, it was radiation. I'm trusting God that this 2018, my wife and I will go to Israel. You know, and I've been told very reliably that one of the places you need to go to is near the Dead Sea. Near the Dead Sea, you will see where Sodom and Gomorrah were. The place is still flat. You can't plant anything there. It was the ashes. Now, when it to that dead, the Dead Sea is dead. Nothing, but it has too much salt. It's when you go to the, I'm told, you know, and I believe it. When you go to Israel, the Bible comes alive. You now know that it wasn't cunningly devised fables, because you can see the place there. Where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be, God completely obliterated the place because of the sins of those people and left it as a testimony and a memorial to any generation that will follow the same footsteps. I'm sorry for this generation. The only thing, you know what's keeping them, honey? The church. He that letteth will let, but the day we go, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The thing that is keeping America, keeping England, is the prophetic remnant that is still praying. The prophetic generation that is still praying and seeking God. And because of them, he said, if I find 10 people, he said, I will spare them. So God's mercy is still, the day we go. Go and read Revelation chapter 6, verse right through to 19. The day we go, the trumpets will start sounding. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials of the judgment of God upon a godless generation that has willfully rebelled against God. You know, even the unbeliever doesn't have an excuse. He may not know the Bible like we know the Bible, but he has a conscience. How did Abimelech know it was wrong to take another man's wife when there was no Ten Commandments? Abimelech, there was no Ten Commandments. Moses had not written Ten Commandments. Abimelech was a heathen king. He was a heathen. He was an idol worshiper. But God, he knew. God came to him and said, you have taken another man's wife. Abimelech said, God, I don't know. He told me it was his sister. I didn't know it was his wife. God, you're a dead man. You better restore the woman, you know, or else I want to deal with you. That's saying it nicely. The Bible says God had even shut up the wombs of the women in something until he, you know. But the point is this. Abimelech knew what was right and wrong without a Bible. Just by his conscience. Do you want to tell me that the guys in England and America and Australia that are doing same-sex laws do not know that it is wrong? Of course they know. It is willful rebellion against God. And this is a message going out to the whole world. I'm going to say to you what Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar. O king, turn away, show mercy to the poor, and maybe there should be a lengthening of thy tranquility. See, the God we serve is a good God. He takes no pleasure in killing people or punishing. He doesn't. You know, no matter what you've done, you can change it. But to continue along this line, that's what we say in our language, in Yoruba, there is no way there. It will lead to certain destruction. That's God for you. He's a kind, loving, merciful God. But by no means will he clear the wicked. So you don't want to continue in this. And don't tell me you don't know. That's dishonesty of heart. There is a knower inside every human being. He says it's made manifest in our consciences. If people in the Old Testament, without thousands of years of Jewish and Christian history, no Bible, could be held accountable, how much more you? Amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. I'm almost done, but not done. And delivered just Lot. Oh, we read that. Next verse 8 and 9. For that righteous man, that's where I stopped, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. You know, if you're not in the wrong place, you will not see and hear what you not see and hear. Hello, somebody. If you are not, you know, if you go and read the story, you find that what led Lot to Sodom and Gomorrah was covetousness. That's what led him there. And that's why he saw what he shouldn't see. And he was hearing what he should hear. Now, thank God for God's mercy, and that at least he kept his righteousness, you know, his faithfulness to God and God's laws, and didn't join them in doing what he was doing. But he exposed himself and his family unnecessarily to what he should have avoided. He should have been where Abraham was. And you know the amazing thing? What caused the fight? Cattle. Meh. The Holy Ghost, I should say it like that, so it catches their attention. Some people aren't listening properly. When I say, man, praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? Cattle. But what's cattle? It's money. What's cattle? It's wealth. You can convert it to, that is always the problem. For the root, the love of money, not money, but the love of money is always and has always been and will always be the root of all evil. What got Lucifer into trouble? The love of money. He says, thou hast corrupted thy sanctuaries by because of the iniquity of thy traffic. The merchandise of thy traffic. Even back then. I mean, I just hit this and put it by the side. You know what happened? God made Satan, Lucifer back then, you know, he was the anointed cherub that was covering the earth. Everything was in his charge. And I want to believe, I don't know this for certain, but I want to believe that it wasn't the earth alone. He had all kinds of planets and things. You know God now. God is easy. You know, as I put him in of the thing, you know, let him run the show. But he needed to report to God, maybe monthly, maybe weekly, I don't know, some kind of account. And give, you know, okay, this is what we've done, this is what we have, this is what we've done, this is what we have, this is what we've done, this is what we have. All that's what, he stopped doing it. The whole crux of the matter of the satanic rebellion was he wanted to be independent of God. He said, okay, God, you still got so many other planets, and you still got so many other galaxies. This is my corner. I don't want your interference anymore. I don't need to report to you. I have the wisdom which God gave him. I have the power which God gave him to run my show. That was the whole purpose. And God said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You seem to forget who gave it to you and who put you there. It says, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and I will destroy thee. And the people who see you say, is this the man? That was the whole problem. And the same problem today. See, people feel that money can make them independent of God. If I have a lot of money, for money answereth all things. Have you read it? But it's only all things physical. You know, if I have enough money and I have enough resources, who needs God? That's one of the reasons why they don't pray in some of these countries. In Nigeria, I have to bind it because of NEPA. Amen. Believe God for water. Believe God even for petrol. Then you get in the queue and say, oh God, in Jesus' name, Jesus. Thank God for that. Give Nigeria a clap of. There are some things I would never have learned if I was not in Nigeria. It's in Nigeria you face all those kind of problems. But you know where you're abroad, you don't need all of that. So you think, I don't need God. But you're making the biggest mistake of your life. You will always need God. Because you are a created being. You are not self-existent and never will be. So you will always need to depend on the Creator. And your job, or rather your responsibility, is to acknowledge, worship, and honor Him. For all things, including you, incidentally, were made by Him for and for His pleasure. You like it or you don't like it. That's what you were created for. You were created for His pleasure. And once you stop pleasing Him, you have frustrated the reason for your creation. And the only thing that is left for you is to be destroyed. You were made for Him. By Him, for Him, are all things, including you. This amen. You know, we need to understand this. When we understand it properly, then our head is correct. But when we don't understand it properly, we begin to think all this funny thinking. I'm myself, I can do what I like. You can't. God made you for a purpose. My God's a good God. He's giving you all the beautiful things and everything. But, you know, it's not even like he's trying to be selfish. It's just the way things are. You are eternally dependent on the Creator because you are not self-existent. So you cannot sustain life by yourself. So once you cut off from the Creator, everything inside starts fouling up. Because the power to keep the configuration the way it's supposed to work comes from Him. You cut off the power, then the thing becomes distorted. We call it death. And so it's very important. I'm going to start closing on this now. Thank you, Jesus. So it says, verse 9, for that righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. We dealt with that. If he was not there, he would not have been seeing the nonsense they were doing. Verse 9, and that's where I'm going to stop for today. For the Lord knoweth how to deliver. Turn to neighbor, say, God knows how to deliver. So, yeah, you didn't say it properly. Say it again. The godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust for the day of judgment to be punished. Just as God knows how to deliver the godly, He knows how to reserve the unjust. Look at how God reserved Haman. It's one of the most instructive stories in the Bible. This guy thought he was in control, but it was actually God who was reserving him. The Bible says, and the king promoted Haman the Agagite above all the princes. He was very, very, very arrogant. You know? And he felt, he didn't know that he was being set up. Because without Haman, Mordecai and Esther would not have got to the position they got to. You know, parading himself around the whole place. Everybody was bowing for him, you know, cowing. But Mordecai said, you shall not have any other God before me. He respected him because he was the boss of all the princes and all of that. But I will not worship you. So Mordecai will not bow. Look at this silly fellow. He got so angry. You know, anger will blind you. And it will make you see straight. You know, he could have killed Mordecai like that. There was no problem. Because of his position. They won't even know Mordecai was killed. The king would not even, he would not even hear. He wouldn't even hear. He would have killed him like that. But the pride of his heart. He said, killing Mordecai alone is not good enough. I'm going to kill not only him, but all the Jews. Oh, watch this. All these people who believe they should not bow to any other person except their God. I'm going to deal with all of them. The day he made that decision was the day he fell. See how God dealt with him. So what we're saying is that God knows how to deliver the godly. Like he delivered Lot. Thank God for Abraham. Everybody say, thank God for Abraham. Everybody give Papa Abraham a clap offering. Do you know that Abraham could have been bitter against Lot? This Lot was one funny fellow. When Abraham was leaving of the Chaldees, you know, he took Lot along with him. Maybe he shouldn't have, looking back. But you know, that's Abraham's nature. Abraham's such a nice guy. You know, took him along with him, looked after him, blessed him. He had nothing. Everything he had, he got it from Abraham. This Lot was so, he was so covetous. Thank you, Jesus. He was so covetous. He was that kind of a person. You know, started fighting with Abraham. You know, God not make me Lot in Jesus' name. Amen. But you know, somebody like Lot, if his herdsmen were quarreling, he would say, Father Abraham, everything is his own. You boys, don't let me hear that nonsense again. But ambition, greed, covetousness. But you know, in spite of the fact that Lot did something that was really wrong. Abraham didn't forget him. We must learn to pray for our enemies if you want to fulfill your destiny. Abraham still walked in love towards Lot. He delivered him from all those kings. Remember? Then when it was God is a good God. Everybody say, God is a good God. You know, God could have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah without consulting Abraham. Abraham would just be hearing that fire came from heaven and Sodom and Gomorrah is finished with Lot, his wife, and all everybody. But because God wanted to save Lot, give the Lord another clap offering. Because God wanted to save Lot, who did not deserve to be saved. That's what true love is. Hallelujah. It's undeserved. He said, will I do a thing and not tell my friend Abraham? God knew Abraham. He knew Abraham was going to pray for Lot. He knew Abraham was going to pray for Lot. He didn't tell him, but he, just like the Garden of Eden, he put two trees in the middle of the garden. He knew. So he said, Abraham, I want to deal with those boys down the road in Sodom and Gomorrah because of all the rubbish that they're doing. And that's an Olubi translation. So, Abraham remembered. Ibemani Lot, with his wife and children. Ah, God! God! You are the God of the whole earth. The righteous God. You, it be far from you to destroy the wicked with the righteous. If we find 50 people there, God said, sure, fine. Who are Rodada? He thought about it well. We'll be up to 50 or 40. God said, no problem. 30, 20. In fact, by that time, Abraham was feeling uncomfortable. He thought that maybe God was going to be angry with him. You know, many of us are like that. We don't know God. You cannot stretch God's long suffering. You cannot stretch his patience. By the time you think you will be irritated, God is still cool. God wasn't even irritated. You know, if he was irritated, he would have said, what are you talking about? Then he could have negotiated. You know, when you're negotiating with somebody who doesn't really want to do it, you can still negotiate, but you will get from the person's body language and the way they talk in that. But God was not like that at all. God was cool. If he had gone down to one, he would have got it. If he had gone down to one, he would have got it. And like Pastor Abraham was just saying, it's in the book of Jeremiah. If later on in history, you know, God said, go through the streets of Jerusalem. He said, if you can find one man. That's why I know he will spare Nigeria. Yeah. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's why I know he will spare America. That's why I know he will spare England. That's why I know he will spare. There is no country on the face of the earth today where you won't find one righteous man. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. However, they're all going one day. We call it rapture. The day they go. Then judgment will come. So, we see God deliver Lot, you know, through the intercession of Abraham, and reserve the rest for judgment. In closing, I want to say this. It says, false prophets. You have three types of prophets. Or teachers, you can say prophet. Let's stay with prophets. You know, you have what I call developed prophets. What's a developed prophet? A developed prophet is one who, when they speak God's word, do you understand? You get sometimes an instant, spectacular manifestation of that prophetic word. Sometimes not so instant. For instance, I would consider Elijah and Elisha, I'm just using them as examples, and Moses. You know, and others like that as developed prophets. People who will speak and it will happen almost instantly. As it, you know, they're operating at a certain level of anointing. For instance, you see Moses, he will say, by this time tomorrow, this will happen, and it will happen exactly like that. You see Elijah, you know, he would speak, you know, the word of God, and instantly it will happen. If I be a man of God, then let fire come from heaven and consume you and your 50 instant. Those are developed prophets. In my understanding, there are very few developed prophets on the earth today. Then you have what I call developing prophets. And I believe most of us, like myself, you know, and others, are in that category where we're not fully developed. I think we have to be very careful about, that's why I like the Bible. The Bible says, let every man think soberly. When you see developed prophets, that's why Elisha said, I want a double portion. He would speak the word of God. There was one prophet in the Old Testament. You know, I can't remember his name. You know, if his name is there at all. You know, who gave the prophecy about Josiah. How many remember? The old prophet, you know. And said, you know, altar, oh altar. That, you know, a child will be born and all of that, you know. And dealt with the fellow. This guy, one of the kings, he went into the temple to go and offer, and he said, it's not for you to do that. They say instantly. That's developed prophet. We don't have too much of that. I think we've seen a little bit of it. We saw a little bit of it in William Branham. We saw a little bit of it in Kenneth Hagin and so on. But we really, this generation really hasn't seen developed prophets. Then you have developing prophets like us and others. You know, we're developing. And I think that's a very humble place to stay. You know, that's why all this title, putting prophet in front of your name, you don't even know what you're talking about. Thank God for Elijah. He heard the news about Naaman. And the king was crying and misbehaving. He said, send him to me. How many prophets do we have on the earth like that today? Send him to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. Ha ha! That's what we mean, developed. Developed. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Korah and the silly boys. And Daman and, you know, Dathan rather. You know, we don't know. Moses said, if these men die the death of ordinary men, then the Lord has not spoken by me. But if the Lord do a new thing and the earth opens up, then you will know that these people have provoked the Lord. Instant. That's a developed prophet. There, we don't have them on the earth yet. Do you understand? We have developing ones. We have developing ones. You know, thank God for that. You know, and then we have corrupted prophets. Now that's the real problem. And then we have false prophets. They're not the same. I'm going to close. See, corrupted prophets are people who were originally called and had the real anointing. But because of money. Balaam became a corrupted prophet. Saul! Is Saul also not among the prophets? He became a corrupted prophet. Today, the church has there are many corrupted prophets. They were called of God, anointed of God like Saul. But because of money, stubbornness, rebellion, pride, covetousness, their anointings became corrupted. But watch this. When it becomes corrupted, then familiar spirits begin to, you say, an evil spirit from the Lord begins to operate through them and then give them supernatural experiences, which they would not have had had they continued developing. That is why the Lord Jesus, now turn to Matthew chapter 7. This is very important. You know, I'm still going to preach this as a full-blown thing, but let me just hit it and close. In Matthew chapter 7, give me verse 21. 21. God bless you. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's not just talking about heaven. It's talking about entering perfection. You know, you have to read in that context. It's not talking about just being born again, which is part of it. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me. They will say many again. Remember the many in Peter? Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Say many. Many will say to me in that day, that day is this third day of the glory of God. Have we not, look at the first thing he says, prophesied. Prophesied. You know, the Bible says covet to prophesy. The prophetic gift is very important, and it's a wonderful thing. But you see, if money becomes a factor, that same prophetic gift can become corrupted. And what Jesus said, he said, many have prophesied in thy, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew, depart from ye that work iniquity. In other words, the power that was behind the prophecy, the casting out of the devil, the wonderful works, was the force of iniquity. What happened? The original thing was the Holy Ghost. Then it became corrupted. Then an evil spirit from the Lord, or actually permitted by the Lord, came in. They are familiar spirits. You know, familiar spirits are familiar with you. Hey, come here now. You know, and I also lay hands on Toby and I say, oh, Shalemangra, and I begin to prophesy. I can tell him things about his life he doesn't know. But it doesn't necessarily mean he's God. Because that spirit is familiar with him. I can even do miracles. That is why it's very important in this day. That's why God put this scripture in the Bible. No prophecy of the scriptures of any prophecy, more sure word of prophecy. Then he now goes to talk about false prophets and their unctions and their anointings and how they're operating. You know, that you don't want to allow yourself to get involved with false, you know. And there's something that's going on in the air around today, you know. It's been around for 30 years. I've been around to the glory of God in this prophetic ministry, you know, for many years. You know, my wife and I. You know, there's something I have seen, and when I saw it, I backed off from it. And up till now, I've backed off from it. You cannot activate the gift of prophecy. You know why? It's given as the Spirit wills. So you say, I can't just see you and say, God, let me prophesy for this brother. Once you start doing that, you open the door. You may get something, but is it God? You cannot. I never forget Kenneth Hagin. Thank God for Kenneth Hagin. He taught that thing. He said, you can't just push a button and start the gift of prophecy. You can't do it. It's only as the Spirit wills. So an unction, if it comes and the Holy Ghost something, but for me to perform, I think it was William Branham that Kenneth Hagin was talking about. This younger generation knows nothing about these things. That's why it is incumbent upon people like us, to the glory of God, who heard from the fathers, to teach the younger generation. William Branham originally started with the correct prophetic anointing. Gordon Lindsay, Kenneth Hagin, and many of the other brethren, you know, who were around him, they understood he was a prophet. Yes, he was a prophet. No doubt about that. And he would come to meetings and get word of knowledge about people's sicknesses and illnesses and things like that. Pinpoint accurate. When the Spirit was in operation, then crowds would start coming. People started talking about the great prophet of God. Do you understand? Then he will now come to the meeting and there will be no unction. Then he will want to press a button. But things continue to happen. The anointing got corrupted. He started calling himself the Elijah to come. All kinds of funny things. He went off the sure word of prophecy. He died in a car accident. They didn't bury him for about three days or 1 week. It's 1964. He died in a car accident. They called Kenneth Hagin, called God Lindsay. Ah, Brother Branham is dead. You know, we're going to pray for him and raise him from the dead. And he said, stop wasting your time. He's not going to be raised from the dead. They said, no, it's Elijah to come. You know, he will raise him from there. Because if you see the miracles that happened under William Branham, you will understand why his followers were so insistent. He did great miracles. He said, you know, he said, you're wasting your time. Gordon Lindsay said, you're wasting your time. Because God had told them ahead of time. They went to warn him. He didn't listen. You know? And then finally, you know, when he died, they kept him in the mortuary, wherever they kept him, you know, days. They thought he was going to, brethren were praying, raise him from the dead. He never woke up. It's a lesson to this generation. Don't seek signs. Don't seek visions. Don't seek dreams. If you get them and God brings them, fine. But don't go and start. Because once you start seeking spectacular supernatural, the Satan can open the door. Let's stay with the Bible. These gifts are given as the Holy Spirit wills, not as you and I will. Is this clear? Is this clear? The only place where you are allowed to exercise the gift of prophecy is in praise and worship. Like the Psalms, which is, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. You know, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the... Yes, your will. That's the place. Once you get out of that place and I just see Brother William and I want to tell him what God... You know, and usually it comes with a fee. Heard Brother Banks, Bankole Akinmola, my friend, tell me this many, many years ago, you know, one of the times when he came to Nigeria, and, you know, with Papa Ralph and everything. There was a prophet that came to their church. This was back in Atlanta. You know, came to the meeting where all of that, even with the Pastor Tuff. You know, they said they had, Banks told me, he said, OG, he said, I've never seen anything like it. He said, the man read our mail. Everybody could tell you, but it was $5,000. If you gave anything, there was $5,000, there was $1,000, and there was the others. If you gave anything less than that, you got, God bless you. But if you wanted a true prophetic word, that's how bad the church has fallen. And it's still happening today. So don't try and do that. Pray, read your Bible, worship God. If a prophetic word comes, great. If it doesn't come, leave it alone. So you don't enter into this. It is rampant today. And it's part of what Jesus is talking about. Have we not prophesied? Have we not in thy name done many wonderful works? Have we not done great miracles? And he said, I never knew you. You walk iniquity. Look at Saul. God and an evil spirit from the Lord. And the Bible said, and he prophesied. So these examples that are written for our admonition, you know, so we can distinguish between the true and the false. The true will have the fruit of the Spirit. They will not be covetous. They will never, God told Ken Hagin, he said, never charge a fee for your unction. He said, I'm giving you an anointing to minister to the sick. He said, God, Jesus told him, you want to go and read the book, I believe in visions. In one of the visions, he said, many of my servants have given this gift. He said, they have gone corrupted because of money. He said, be careful about money. He said, people will have children who have polio, who have all kinds of diseases, and they will bring those children to you to use the anointing to pray for them. So when the fire comes out of your hand, you know there's an evil spirit involved. You cast it out. If it doesn't, you just feel the fire, it just come in, you know, it won't jump from one hand to the other hand. And Jesus told him, he said, be careful. He said, many of my servants have corrupted this anointing. Thank God for Kenneth Hagin. And telling us the truth. He said, and they have corrupted their ministries. He said, never charge a fee for your ministry. Just take up offering like a normal. So if somebody brings a little child that has a problem, I'm not going to ask them for money. What if they don't have?
so they don't get the anointing? No, just pray for them. You know, that's a good thing about this church, to the glory of God. You know, I don't know who gives what, and I don't care. So I can't be partial to this one or partial to that one. The person who doesn't, you know, maybe they're in financial difficulty, doesn't give anything, I pray for them just like the person who has. You must never tie anointing to money. It will corrupt the anointing. Let us pray. Never tie the anointing to money. Develop prophets, developing prophets, corrupted prophets. False prophets are like, you know, the white garments, people who are not even born again, and it's just evil spirits prophesying through them. Those ones are obvious. It's the corrupted one that we really have problem with in the church. Corrupted one. Those are the ones that are really troubling Israel. Talk to God. Put the word to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Put the word of God top priority. Let that be final authority on anything, any vision, any dream. And don't despise visions or dreams. Don't despise them. No, listen. This is why he has a vision and dream. Listen, learn what you can. It says, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, then hold fast to that which is good. How do you prove it? The word of God. That's how you prove it. Talk to God. Hallelujah. In your presence, we are content. In your presence, we are content. Hey. God's word. The Bible says covet to prophesy, not something you should desire. But he says, I show you a more excellent way. Follow after charity, then desire. The way of love, the way of the word. And then on top of that will now come the gifts of prophecy and other things, as the Spirit wills. And when there is no manifestation, you have the more sure word. It's always there. The prophecy of the scripture, it never fails. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I didn't hear you. Father, I confess our sins, especially the sins of covetousness, the sins of seeking the spectacular above the word of God. And receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come this morning, reminding me that in these end times, there are corrupted and false prophets that will want to trouble the church. Oh God, have mercy on me. Open my eyes. In your presence there is light. In your presence I am content. I am content with your word. I am content with the light from your word. I am content with your presence. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, help me. Help me. Open my ears. Open my eyes. So I will be able to tell when a ministry is corrupted and not eat of it. Allow it to trouble me spiritually, oh God. And for myself, I ask for mercy. Keep me pure. Keep me pure. Keep me pure. In this day where so many things are going on, oh God, in these perilous times, keep me pure to your word. Lord, I stand in great expectation of the manifestation of the power of the Spirit without measure, where your glory will come, and these things of your glory and your power and your wisdom will become commonplace. Oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me to be faithful so that I can partake of the genuine and not be deceived by the counterfeit. Oh God, preserve and prepare me for the great outpouring of the power of the Spirit without measure that is about to hit the church. That I will be a true carrier of the true glory and not the counterfeit one. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Wants me to add one or two things to what Pastor has said, and he just winked to me now and said I should come up. You know why the prophetic is very important? This end time. And God truly is raising a prophetic generation. The Bible says that we should believe the Lord our God. So shall we be established. And believe his prophets. So shall we prosper. So it means that for prosperity to take place in the life of the saint, you need to have the office of the prophet in operation in your life. That's scripture. Believe the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe the prophet, and so shall you prosper. I was sharing with someone the other day, and I was saying, just take a look at your life. If you had not followed the prophetic, your life could never have been this way. If you have not followed the prophetic, your life could never have been this way. But you did not know then. It's only in hindsight because you followed. That's why you can say, oh, see, because I followed, see how I am prospering. Because if you do not follow, you'll be frustrated. Number two, the building of the temple. When the adversaries came and they hindered the building of the temple, the Bible says, for the building to continue and to go on to be finished, it was by the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. And that's why, by the grace and the mercy of God, the Lord has to help us to discern between the developing prophets and the corrupted prophets and the false prophets, and to find out how did they become corrupt. So yes, the greatest underlying of everything is covetousness, because the root of all evil is the love of money. But let's look at an example of Saul, who the Bible says was also amongst the prophets, and who we saw became a corrupt prophet. How did he become that? The first example was when, I believe, he was asked to kill all the Amalekites. He was to completely wipe them out. You see, in the prophetic, you have no opinion. That is one ministry you have no opinion. Please sit down. Or if you want to keep standing, stand. But how you feel? The prophetic, you have no opinion. That's why you cannot will it. You have no opinion. That's why you cannot will it. Because it is the reflection of the voice of the Lord through the vessel. It's like pastor telling Sister Shola, write to Pastor Gwega that by 5 p.m. I am coming to his house. Sister Shola didn't write that letter. It was pastor's voice. And she cannot put her own opinion inside it. If not, it will be an incorrect, corrupted letter that was not written by pastor. cannot make it. She cannot change the timing. And that's why prophets are not very popular. They stone the prophets because they're errand boys. They're messengers. They have no true prophets. True prophets. The mark of true prophets is that they have no opinion. They are just messengers being sent by the Almighty God to deliver a message. And the degree of the purity of your heart, the degree of the character of God that you have developed and loved, will determine the degree of the purity of the message that flows through the chalice. So the greatest thing a developing prophet would need to do is to develop in character and love. Because there is no opinion. Now Saul had an opinion. It was said, wipe out all the Amalekites. But he said, no. Let me save the chief. Yes. He said, but that became a problem later. Haman, that wanted to. You see, if you do not, that is why there is no opinion. Haman, God knew. He didn't know what's going to come from that descendant that would want to wipe out the Jews. But he saved. And also save the sheep covetousness. And yes, and he made it look like he was a good. You see, that is the thing. He made it look like it was a just cause. And that is why these things are like that to us. Oh, God said this to me. God said, and the devil will paint the picture to you so well that it will take the discernment of a developing person in the spirit to be able to say, this looks like God, but it's not God. Because that statement looks so much like God. He said he wanted to sacrifice it. Then the second one was when Samuel was late. Let me tell you something. Some things are deliberate. There are no coincidences. Tell somebody no coincidences. Because the Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And that's one thing running into 2018. I'm telling the Lord. I said, Lord, I must begin to know that there are no coincidences. And it helped me. It was because I knew there was no coincidences that I quickly got the message about the upgrade. And I knew that God was doing a new thing. No coincidences. That's why you should not push for things. Because if you're used to pushing for things, you would not know when God is pushing you and when you pushed for it. If you keep exercising yourself in stretching your neck and stretching your neck, you will not know when God stretches your neck for you. But if you're not used to stretching your neck and God stretches your neck for you, you will know, this is not my character. Something is happening here. This must be God. And that's how that great message of upgrade came, by virtue of by his grace of character, love, and not stretching my neck. So I don't normally, so I knew it was God. Look at it. When it came to the time of Samuel, he was late. It looked like it was late. But he was the spiritual oversight over Saul. Did he think he was irresponsible? Did he think Samuel was irresponsible? Why didn't he think the best of Samuel, his oversight? He meant that in his heart he had been despising Samuel. Because if he had reverence and honor for Samuel, he will not do that. He will not cross the line. He will know there must be a reason for Samuel to be late. And And because there are no coincidences, if he's late, I just have to wait. Perfect, Pastor Scott, where I'm going to. Brethren, this is a very serious thing we need to going forward. 2018 and beyond. Look at when Jesus was late. Looked like when his friend died. Lazarus is dead. He still waited. He waited. There was a purpose. Pastor was saying yesterday, I almost jumped off my chair. 30-fold. 60-fold. That was 100-fold. That was cold stone dead. The first one of Jairus' daughter, you could have said maybe she just fainted. The one of the son of King Nain, you said, oh, well, was in the crisp in the coffin. Thank God. Maybe it was freshly. Maybe they didn't really check it properly. It was still fresh. But the one that was 4 days dead, graveyard dead, and God had to show all to realize that. Yes, and Pastor said that kind of miracle hasn't been shown till today, but it's going to be duplicated because greater works. And so Samuel was late. And what did Saul do? He went to offer the sacrifice. And just as he was doing it, to tell you that there was no mistake, Samuel came in and said, "What is this that you have done?" And that tells you that he has consistently exercised that thought in his heart. Because instead of saying, Heshanumi, and fall down and say, "Please pray for me, help me, I made a great mistake," because of the consistent exercise, he whispered and said, "Just magnify me in the eyes of men." He was more concerned about the people, his image with the people. That's the second thing. What is popular with men is abomination with God. That's another thing that's driving this covetous, corrupt prophets. They like the crowd. You saw that was what happened to Abraham. They like the crowd. So they want to perform. And they want to be popular. So to keep being popular, you have to keep performing and giving the people what they want to hear. Seducing spirits will accommodate. Seducing spirits will accommodate. Because true prophets, if you know, they may have compassion, they may have love, but they're not very popular. Because they bring the warnings of the Lord. Only the word of the Lord. They bring encouragement, but they will only bring the word of the Lord. And inside the word of the Lord is blessing, and inside it is severity. There's to behold the goodness and the severity of the Lord. But the prophetic ministry is a very important ministry in the end time. And we must understand the prophets to be able to receive them so that we can prosper in the purposes of God and fulfill. There is a prophetic generation that is arising. And this is that generation. And you will notice where the true prophetic is, there's not too much crowd. Because they build up. They build the temple. They build up. They build up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. They build up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophet. There's no building up without the prophets. And that ministry, those two head ministries, are the two, those two head ministries, the apostle and the prophetic, are the two major things that's going to grow up the church in this end time. Thank you very much, and God bless.
Whoa! How about we know today is the last Sunday of the year? And we are coming for watch night service in the night. See, God is just getting you ready. You must not enter 2018 without understanding the prophetic and submitting to it so that you can be built up and inherit the spirit without measure. There is no, you are not going to get those things without the prophetic and the apostolic input. And a lot of the times, what they say is not initially palatable. But as you act on it, you will see growth in your life. When mommy was talking, something just leapt up in my spirit. Immediately we finish this now, we're just going to go straight into the dedications and all of that, and then to praise and worship. Because I believe this is what God is really, really wanting us to grab. Because there is a lot of corruption around. There is a lot of it. I would not say, certainly it's not all, but a majority. In fact, if you look at the word in the Greek, many is majority. So, you know, can you imagine the way the world is now? Right has become wrong, and wrong has become right. The same thing inside the church. We who are saying what right, we're not in the minority. And we look as if the people who don't know what we are saying. The people who are saying the wrong things are the ones in the majority, and the ones that are popular and are being recognized as the man of God. It's a part of the characteristic of the end time. Mommy said something about Saul and Samuel, that Saul did not wait. Give me Habakkuk. I quickly had to write it down so that, you know, talk about capture the thought. The thought came, I quickly tried, otherwise I won't remember. It's like gas, it just filtered through. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it what? The vision shall speak and not lie. Now, look at that next statement, though it tarry. Though it tarry. This is a part of the prophetic operation. It doesn't always come on your timetable. Though it tarry, it tells you exactly what to do. Wait for it. Because it will surely come. Watch this. It will not tarry, but it tarried. And it looks like a contradiction. Though it tarry, wait for it, then it shall not tarry. Give me the next verse. No. Stay in verse 3. Stay in verse 3. Verse 3, and then go to the Amplified. The vision is yet for an appointed time, because it hastens to the end fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come, and it will not be appointed on its appointed day. You see, when God gives a prophetic word about things, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes there will be a delay because a man is involved and certain conditions have to be fulfilled. That's what causes you to tarry. So when he says it will not tarry, it will come on its appointed day, it will come on its appointed day when all the conditions have been fulfilled. So whenever there is a tarrying, what should Saul have done? Samuel is late. We want to sacrifice. But Samuel is my spiritual oversight. Okay, Samuel is not here, but God is here. God, what do we do? He never inquired. Whenever there seems to be a tarrying, you know what you should do? I've said it so many times. You do not wait passively. You wait actively. He says, we wait through the Spirit. says the hope of our the redemption of our body. He says we wait earnestly for it. We wait groaning. We which have the first ones wait groaning. So you wait in the place of prayer. As you wait in the place of prayer, the reason for the tarrying will become clear, and the things that need to be fixed, that are delaying the thing, get fixed before the thing comes. Very, 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 very important. This generation has been told falsely that if you want something, you get it fast like that. Not in God. Not in God. Not in God. For you have need of patience. That after, not before, you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And then to particularize this, and he that the promise is coming in us in that context. But we must do the will of God. So it's very important. As you go into 2018, learn that lesson. And be smart. And I say smart now in the spirit, you know, to distinguish what kind of prophet is this. Don't let the razzle dazzle dazzle you. Listen for the word. The prophetic, is this a more sure word of prophecy? Then what are the fruits? The wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Take it to that filter diligently. Then you'll be able to take away what I call the bone from the fish. You'll be able to separate the tear from the wheat. And let me say one last thing I need to say on this is this. You know, it's very, very important what I'm about to say. Very, very, very important. Very, very, very important. I learned this when I was a young Christian, when I was growing up in Pastor Porter's church. See, a man can bring a prophetic word. Do you understand? And some of it can be God, and some of it can be the man. That's why the Bible says, despise not prophesying. Prove. And then, after you've proven it, filtered it, hold fast only to the part of it that is good. That's why you cannot dismiss prophetic words. Don't dismiss them. Listen carefully. Then prove. If you don't know the word of God, you can't prove it. And then you will now know the part of it to hold fast to. Let me give an example. In Acts, Paul goes to the house of Philip. He had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Their prophecy was not wrong, but they put something there that was not there. They prophesied that Paul would be in danger going to Rome. So they now brought a word that said that Paul should not go to Jerusalem. It was not the word of God. What they said was right generally, that there will be danger. Then a more developed prophet, his name is Agabus, and he comes, and then he sees Paul and takes Paul's belt, and then he binds himself and says, so shall the Gentiles bind the man that has this belt when he goes to Jerusalem. He did not say, don't go to Jerusalem. You can see, were Philip's daughters false prophets? No. Were they corrupted prophets? No. They're just developing. Recognize the vessel is human. So when you hear it, listen carefully. Take it back to the word of God. Pray. And this is one other reason why sometimes independent confirmation is important. In the mouth of two or three witnesses. So you hear something from one person, you keep it. You keep praying. Then God will now bring somebody else that is totally unconnected, that doesn't even know what that person ever said to you, and it just comes and it clicks. Clip! Aha! And of course, it's in line with the word of God. So all these are all part of the
prophetic operation. And like mommy said, we're not going to prosper. I'm not talking about money alone. I'm talking about purpose and destiny. We cannot, the temple, the church cannot be built without the input of the prophetic and the apostolic. So when you now understand the prophetic ministry, you understand its operation, then you can correctly filter, you can get what God wants you to get out of it, know what Israel ought to do. And then as you do it, you get built up and fulfill your destiny in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering.